Peace lovers, welcome back to the second part of a bougie ass episode with Fancy and Bougie Lungs. I'm so glad you decided to come back. If you are listening to this first, that's cool too, but just know that it might make more sense to listen to the first part first. So it's up to you. But anyway, I'll jump right into the interview. Thanks for joining me again. See if we can record this way. Okay.
This might be better.
Yeah, let's try this. Okay, so I want to circle back. I definitely want to circle back to what we were just talking about. But before I lose too much focus, I wanted to ask you, we were talking about we having some connectivity issues with this call, but we continue to, you know, figure out ways to work around it. But you had some major curveballs hit you this summer, and I wanted you to talk about that.
Yeah. Like I was saying, you know, like when somebody come at you, like, and take your things, of course you feel some type of way, you know. But what I learned throughout my life is that, you know, sometimes some things ain't worth it unless it come back for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had got robbed. People had came up in the house on me and everything. You know, I was weak at the time. I couldn't defend myself. I couldn't do nothing. I just had to sit there and take it. You know what I'm saying? Because I had my leg issue.
Right.
But one thing that it did to me, it ain't do nothing let me know that I'm doing something right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm doing something to where, you know, people like, you know, like, hold up, this nigga getting a little bit of money. You know, excuse my.
Oh, no, you good.
But, you know, like, damn, this nigga getting a little bit of money. So, you know, I think we might go up in there. But, like I said, on this one, I just think that I was just I was just in a way. Like, you know, like, it really wasn't meant for me because I was long gone. I mean, you know, I had been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like it wasn't meant for me, but there's those that I was there. You know, I was just like, you know, in a way, they had to get me. So, you know, I respect what they doing because when I was younger, I was the same way. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Going to people's houses, taking everything from them. But
yeah.
As me getting older, I've realized that karma comes back.
Definitely.
Yeah, karma comes back. And Lord forbid, that I wish death on nobody. But sometimes your karma, you can't determine your fate with karma.
Right.
You know, y'all did what y'all did, okay. Y'all got a little bit of money, you know. Y'all got paid for what y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
That's respectable. I respect that, you know. But believe that karma come back for you, and you ain't stop nothing.
Well, let me ask you this. We talked about when we were talking about planning for this interview. We talked about the need for full legalization versus decriminalization. When we talk about somebody robbing you and forcibly taking from your business, how would that change protect you and protect your investment?
Wait a minute, say that again?
So, like, talking about legalization
uh-huh.
versus decriminalization, right?
Yeah.
And the need for full legalization. Do you feel like if full legalization was passed, that would be something to protect you as the business owner? Because,
yeah.
This is your livelihood, you know?
It's now how I support my family.
Right.
So, this, you know, like, it needs to be legal because it's a lot of entrepreneurs in the cannabis community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I see, like, a lot of people, you know, that can really, really, you know, become, you know, build a business in cannabis. Like,
mm-hmm.
me, I plan on growing. You know, my main goal is to get a dispensary. You know what I'm saying? And have it legit, pay my taxes. So that my community that I come out of and the communities all across the city are be able to live, you know, and not have to do the things that, you know, that they do, even though they probably still do it. But if it, you know, like if you feed back to the people and you let the entrepreneurs do it, like we can do things for the neighborhood. Like my plan is to do things for neighborhoods, like, you know, throw parties, pick the kids up, mm-hmm. you feel me, all kids, and, you know, just take them to Disney World or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it's just things that you gotta do, you know, like things that you should do. And I believe that with the legalization, that will help change, that will help start a change
into 100%. How.
Huh?
100%. I 100% agree with you.
It would start a change into how people go about their sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a very observant guy, so I observe everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself as a person sometimes, but, you know, into how, you know, magical things can get for me. So, you know, like, I believe that the positive energy that this cannabis business would generate, it will, you know, help start a change, because people like, man, you know, people like, I work the door. I've been working the door for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that I've met plenty of people. I know plenty of people who is like, man, like they just wonderful people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like in the cannabis industry, like where I'm at now, I give a big shout out to Miss Yabba Dabba Tools at Yabba Dabba Tools on Instagram.
I love Miss Yabba Dabba.
Yeah, that's my baby, you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely love Miss Yabba Dabba.
I'm right here with her right now.
Oh, are you? That's fantastic.
Yeah, she's upstairs in the bed, but, you know, like, she the most wonderful person in the world to me.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, genuinely, her energy is so welcoming. We had the most amazing exchange. I'm a crafty kind of a girl, you know? So, just looking at her craftsmanship is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, actually, this is a great opportunity for you to, you know, one of the angles for my podcast really is to not only talk to people about their passions and how they want to explore it and expand it, but also to talk about a lot of the segregation that we face on a lot of different levels. And you brought it up, not only talking about it from the perspective of a melanated person, but also from the perspective of women being not getting their due credit. Did you want to talk about that more?
Yeah, because, like, nothing impresses me more than a woman who was driven to not have someone else take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like women that's got that natural hustle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you real recognize real.
Really?
And it's a lot of great women in this cannabis industry who deserve their credit and who deserve their respect for their determination and to make something of themselves and to create something. You feel me? Be original and, you know, like, and just, you know, they deserve their due credit. And I give them all respect, you know. Miss Yabba, you know, like, you know, it's a few other women, you know, Sarah from Herban Delicacies, you know.
Yeah, she's the, she provides the vegan edibles, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my God. Bomb. They are absolutely the best.
Yeah, bomb.
They are the best. Like, I actually can relax off of her edibles.
Yeah.
And I would have to eat like almost like 5, maybe 6 edibles before I can be like, oh yeah, I'm high.
Yeah.
I'm relaxed. I feel good. I feel, you know.
Not crazy, not out of control, but good. And, yeah.
And, you know, like, it's just amazing the people that, the not only the men, but the women in this game, you know, that deserve their respect because they hold themselves down and they doing something that's and in this business now, it's about to be tremendous. It's about to be like, it's gonna feed, it's gonna be wealthy, because once it become legal, you know, everybody can walk and you can do what you do. I guarantee you, you'll see more people, you'll see more groups of people smoking together.
Mm.
You feel me? Like laughing, chilling.
I would love to see that. That would be so nice to me. Like, that would just be so nice to me. Like, the culture of alcohol in our country is so reversed to me. Like, I really don't understand. Like, let's all just sit around and put a bunch of, like, yeast in our bodies. And, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's definitely a numbing type of a culture and a practice that brings out a lot of aggression in people. Like, I don't know, like, if you put a bunch of alcohol in a room full of people, you probably gonna have an argument, you know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna have that problem if you have a bunch of cannabis in a room full of people.
It ain't no arguments. You gonna have a fight. I don't even drink liquor. I may take one shot. I really can't drink. I really can't drink liquor. So.
Yeah, I'm not a huge drinker either.
And what I see off of drinking versus smoking for the community, right? It's for the community. We gotta medicate our community with this herb, so that way we can people listen when you medicate it with cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like when they not, you sound like gibberish to them.
Right. You really like Oh, that's like, it's almost as if you're speaking on a different frequency.
Exactly. And they can't understand it.
Right.
And they don't understand it. So they should be like, man, this is a wild guy right here.
Yeah.
And like, and all genuality, if I'm smoking with you and I tell you this, you're going to be like, man, you know what, man? You absolutely right.
Right. Yeah.
Because sometimes with this herb, it opens your eyes to, you know, to understanding when you ain't got none.
You know, actually, this is a perfect segue into my next question. You and I spoke about one of our goals for this episode to be talking about legitimizing cannabis use and taking away some of the negative perceptions of it. I was listening to a TED Talk one was preparing for our interview, and I'm going to put the link in the description, but I love the way that the host of the TED Talk kind of talked about closeted cannabis users and coming out of the closet, and just really showing that it's not this dumbass perception that, you know, marketing has put on it, where, you know, you smoke an L and all of a sudden you don't know how to walk, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, these people that can't get anything done, these people that are so, like, unproductive and eating a bunch of Doritos and shit like that. Like, I have surrounded myself with a community of very productive smokers. Like, people that smoking, like, heavy, you know what I mean? Like, really got built up lungs and are running businesses. So, talk about, you know, from your perspective, especially as a professional in the business, the need for a new perception and the need for more people to come out of the closet as cannabis users.
Man, me working in a pop, a lot of people come out the closet, because I see all types of people. I've met lawyers, I've met doctors, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's what you would call people in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they smoke in the privacy of their own home. Nobody know they smoke unless the people that's close to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody know. So, like, if we can get that legalized, it'll be a lot more of that out here. You know, people coming out. You see people walking around smoking good weed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's not, we need to change that perception on cannabis. It's definitely a major need for it. So, you know, like, that's why I say we need to educate people. So, you know, like, if I once I, you know, get myself together and I'm all the way professional and I can get, you know, a grant or two, you know, to do what I do, to educate people on the use of cannabis, and, you know, to, like, to bring it out, the people come, like, I hold what they say, like, AA meetings,
mm-hmm.
I hold Cannabis Anonymous meetings.
Yeah.
And, you know, people come smoke, and they, you know, like, they're able to, you know, be themselves outside of who they are, outside of their profession, yeah, or their professionalism. You know what I'm saying? This is your time. The legalization is needed so people can feel comfortable and being able to do this without having people look at you like, oh, he's smoking that, oh, she's smoking that, they great, crazy, and all that. I talk to old ladies. The old ladies into where I stand at and where I be at, you know, like the area I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I be telling old ladies about the CBD that they can rub on their body,
mm-hmm,
and help with their joints. And they be like, for real?
Mm-hmm.
You think, I'm going to get me some. Can you get me some of that?
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
I got an order for you coming up right now.
It's,
you
know, really amazing. It's really amazing. My first experience at at 420 Fest was mind-blowing. Like, I don't think I had ever been in a space with that many people smoking in unison, and just seeing the different types of people that were there. Like, I just, like you said, all different backgrounds, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds. Like, it really, like, I mean, the crowd was diverse as fuck, you know? Like, and everybody was there because we all had an appreciation for this plant. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Please.
I had a dream that I ran for president.
Ooh.
Listen, I had a dream that I ran for president and bought world peace by smoking with other heads of office.
Let me find out that you're changing the G Summit.
Huh?
You're changing the summit.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I just feel like that marijuana can connect people because you become more relaxed.
I definitely agree with that.
And more able to hear a person.
Well, you know what? That would be that would definitely make me want to go back into politics if you decided to run. So keep me posted on that.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So let's see. We haven't talked about your future plan. So what does your 5-year plan look like?
Okay, my 5-year plan is to build my business. You know, like, build my business, get my name out there, get some recognition, because that's what it takes. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm, it takes you to build your clientele in order for you to build your business and build your brand. And yeah, by the time 5 years from now, I plan to be, you know, have my cannabis educational center open. You feel me? Along with my, you know, along with everything that comes in it, and, you know, just turn it into a real school, like a school, like dispensary type.
That's amazing.
And just have people, you know, come through. It's safe for you to do this now.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay.
Get at the same time and be around the plant that God gave us.
Right. And just like you said, creating space for community.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, matter of fact, I want to shout out to Maroon House as well. Maroon House has Puffin Poetry. They have a lot of community service events. Just amazing. They're using amazing ways to create space for like-minded people to come together and not only enjoy cannabis, but enjoy it in a productive way that inspires their art and is inspiring community building. So anybody that is a part of this, like, forward thinking and finding new ways to use the plant to build family, I really feel like that's the goal. Like, that's what we should be working towards, right? My bad. I gotta dry my mouth.
Take your time.
Yeah. So Before we wrap it up, I wanted to ask you, what we talked about a few people that helped you along the way and different groups, but was there anybody else in particular that you wanted to shout out?
Yeah, my man, Greenlit 420.
Okay.
All right, it's actually two of them, Herbaceous. Well, it's a couple of them, Dual Selects. It's, you know, them my peoples. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, bet. No, I was just saying, bet, we got to make sure that we add everybody in the comments, and when we post the episode on Instagram, that we tag everybody in it too.
Yeah, so it's going to be Greenlit 420, okay. Dual Selects, Herbaceous DC, and Yabba Dabba Twos. But I'm definitely available for you to do podcasting with you if you know.
No, I think that would be really dope to have like a reoccurring segment. That would be real dope. So let's get into the strand of the episode. Tell me what you smoking.
I'm smoking on Pink Slurpee. I really don't know much about it because I just got it. So, you know, I'm smoking on it to make sure that it's some good stuff and it's some very good stuff.
Okay, Pink Slurpee. Let's see. I looked it up on Leafly. And let's see. It's described as a tart sativa dominant hybrid.
Yep.
That adheres to its namesake in flavor and smell. This strand smells of fruity tea and screams tart lemon and grapefruit on the exhale. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Very nice. It instantly puts the mind in a haze and settles over the body in a calming warmth. Ooh.
Hey, and that's the truth. I'm about to hit another thing.
That feels like love. And guys, I'm looking this up on Leafly.com. As always, Leafly, if you ever want to throw your girl a sponsorship, I'm always here for it. I love Leafly because it does a great job not only telling you what to expect from what you're enjoying, but also the you know, how, where its lineage came from, how it breaks down as far as if it's a sativa, if it's a dominant, if it's a sativa, or if it's an indica or a hybrid, and if it is a hybrid, what it's dominant in. And it also breaks down a lot of the side effects and highlights from the strain also. So did you have any highlights that you wanted to personally mention before I read it from the website?
What's the highlights? Like, what?
Let's see, like,
you didn't talk about?
Yeah, what you like about it or whatever.
What I like about it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it. I honestly feel like that it's something that I can do because it gives me a voice to reach people. You feel me? Like, this the first one, so of course, you know, I'm like, damn, you know, like I'm doing this for real. So, you know, it's the anxiety, you know, and then, you know, I did get a little anxiety from the Pink Slurpee along with the sativa, but that's what it do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But the highlights that I want to say, that I would say that is the best ones, is, you know, that I would like to highlight is, you know, the education and the community, the you know, us building us as distributors, us as people, entrepreneurs who are trying to get this over here for us to be able to build a life because we're already in it. You know, like, I just think that we need to come together as a community and close that network. And, you know, like, even if you got to do groups, and groups work together sometimes, you know, I think that's how it should be.
For sure. As a
community, you know, like, we need that we need us to be a community and be able to stand up and fight because, you know, our signatures matter. Lives matter. You feel me? So,
and green, I mean, light. Also, like, everybody can't do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, if we work together, then one person can do what they're great at and another person can do what they're great at. Not everybody competing for the same things.
Exactly. You're a wonderful person, too. You've been a wonderful person since I met you.
I appreciate that.
You've been a wonderful person since I met you. And that's the type of people that I attract into my life, good people.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to, I felt an energy when I met you. I was like, yo, like, I wonder if you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, some people are very closed off or they might get the wrong impression. You know what I'm saying? Like, from just somebody wanting to build and create, you know what I'm saying? And that's really my main objective. So I really appreciate you being open and receptive.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We got, man, it's so much that our community, that our cannabis community can do, you know, to help with what they need help with.
Yeah.
With getting the young kids to stop being so violent by, you know, helping being there. You know, like they had back in the day, big brothers and shit like that. Shit. You know, like I tell you later, but, you know, like, it's just like, I don't think it's nothing wrong with, you feel me, as long as you can, you doing something positive, and you promoting enough positive energy to reach somebody through cannabis.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah, because it's what they like. It's what they like. It's what they're going to do. Ain't nothing you can do about it, because it's what they're going to do anyway.
I mean, also, when you think about the fact that we are living in a time where not only when you, and when I'm, this statement to me is specifically about melanated people or anybody that's growing up in a place that's, you know, being, that's under poverty, that's, you know, growing up under high levels of poverty. Not only are you in a situation where you are dealing with PTSD trauma from your own life experiences, but you're also dealing with your ancestors, you know what I'm saying, their PTSD that's ingrained in you genetically. We have so many people at a younger and younger ages that are dealing with depression, that are dealing with schizophrenia, that are dealing with, so many mental disorders. Yeah. That at one point in time, you know, the only real solution was to give this person medication that came from some type of engineered by some type of ghostly person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
synthetic.
Exactly. And when you look at the chemical compounds of these drugs, they mimic natural plants like cannabis. You know what I'm saying? So,
No. They are plants. Most of the medicine that we get in the world, most of the medicine that they getting that's not made, genetically made, man-made, they get it from plants. That's the base root of medicine. Penicillin come from a plant. Oxycontin come from a plant. Marijuana come from a plant. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just how it is. You know, like, I mean, back before they had cocaine legal in the early days. What type of shit is that?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the fact that cocaine, the drug, is a direct descendant of the plant that people would use to stay energized throughout long hours of work in a field, you know?
And back then, they used to chew it. They used to chew exactly. it.
You know what I mean? So, it's like, how is it illegal when really the culture of abusing it is what should be illegal? You know what I mean? And really, the culture of abusing it was really just brought because of colonialism. So it all cracks back to the same bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, and then the people that are really dealing with issues of poverty and issues of discrimination are the ones that are left to deal with it and serve the jail time, if it's mental or physical, you know?
I can only say that marijuana will help with fight anything. It's just that it's into how you think, right? And I advise everybody that when you finish with me, smoke another J, right? cut everything off. You feel me? If you can't hear nothing outside, cut everything off. Smoke some more of that gelato. Mm-hmm. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And just lay there in the dark and let your and just relax and mm-hmm. just let you know clear your mind
mm-hmm.
and you'll start to meditate, right? And when you wake up in the morning, you'll have ideas in your head that you it's like where the fuck that come from?
Mm-hmm. It's the truth.
That's the truth.
But you know, if too many people started to think like that, man, like how would the pharmaceutical industry make any money? You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. It's not for the pharmaceutical to make money anymore. They had their run at it.
That's real shit. That's real shit.
They had their run at it. It ain't for them no more. That's what I'm for in DC, for us to keep it.
You know? And then also, kind of what we alluded to earlier, if more people are using cannabis, then that means that more people are engaging in thought more often. And that means that less people are falling for bullshit. You know what I mean? So it's a slippery slope. And a lot of people have a lot to lose if we do get to the point of full legalization, not only in the district, but just nationally. But we got a lot to lose, but also I think that it's a matter of having the right people in place when it comes to elected officials, having the right people in place when it comes to businesses that are in line and are actually have the financial capital and the know-how to run successful businesses. It's a lot of legislative work that needs to happen when it comes to people that are being excluded from being able to have businesses based off of prior records. So it's a lot of work that we have to do as a community to make sure that we are prepared for when full legalization does happen.
That's where we need to be a community. That's when we need to come together and stand and fight for what we already own. You know what I'm saying? Like, for it's sure. It's not gonna take not just me. It's not gonna take just you. You know, they say two heads are better than one.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck that. And this right here, we need a community.
For sure.
We need our clients. We need our clients to come out the closet, like you said.
For sure.
We need our clients to come out of the closet because it's some important people, like you said, in legislative positions
that
probably smoke marijuana.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. When I worked in politics, you would be... No, actually, you would not be surprised. The people that I saw, when the cameras are down and... You know what I mean? In this party time, it's kind of like, yo, you do this? Like, I don't even do that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. For us in D.C. to be able to capitalize on the cannabis industry, we have to build a community.
For sure. And also, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to think, just thinking like when you think of the history of melanated people in this country, a lot of it has to do with agriculture. And you think about overwhelmingly, now you have a closer view of this than I do. So tell me if my perspective is wrong, but overwhelmingly, I feel like most of the, not so much the distributors, but the growers tend to be white. Am I wrong in that assumption?
No, you're not.
Okay. So we're descendants of people that grew. You know what I mean? Like that's what our people have done. I don't care what I don't care how you're melanated. I don't care if you're melanated from the Caribbean, from Africa, from Southern America. Your people grew things. So what do you think attributes to why we're not a part of the growing side of cannabis now?
Mainly because it's more out west and mid. Like, you know, like, and plus it's like the poisoning that they did to us not to be able to think like, you know, not to be able to think clearly and be able to make those moves to be, you know, like, entrepreneur, you know, good growers. It's some good black growers out here.
Mm-hmm.
They in the closet.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, it's some good black growers out here, but they're not, they're afraid because, you know, because of the legal limit or something like that. You know, there's great black growers out here, and we, you know, they out here. They're mm-hmm. definitely out here.
Okay.
You know, and they probably growing the best.
Probably, you know, so.
Because if you look at it, right, what they do, they get it all from us.
Right.
Everything. You feel me? Like they imitate melanated people.
Constantly.
Constantly. All the time. Blatantly. Look at back in the day, what they did with the music, how mm-hmm. black singing groups mm-hmm. would create a song, and then they would come right behind them and create another song. Just like it. Same words and all. Close to it or whatever.
And sometimes not even have the courtesy of putting other vocals on it. Just use my vocals and put your face on it.
Exactly. That's yeah. what they sound like. Yeah. Like we gonna do this regardless. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely, I think that our country is so quick to deny racism or to paint a picture that it's done, that we blind to it. It's almost like being in a room with a lion and having a blindfold on and saying that because you don't see the lion's not in the room. That's bullshit. And it plays out in every facet. And I think that's one of the things that I really, I'm happy that we're able to talk about on this show, because as deeply entrenched as cannabis is in the black culture and the black experience, we are yeah. continuing to be left out of the progress of it.
Yeah. But I mean, like I say, it's the world is changing. You know what I'm saying? Not only for us as a human race that walk the face of this planet, but the planet itself is changing.
Mm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And things are always like, you know, civil as you see in history, civilizations has always destroyed themselves.
For sure.
You know, because look what we're discovering. Planet, you know, cities buried under other cities. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. like it's evolution. You got to evolve. If you can't evolve, then, you know, you're just left by the wayside. And us as melanated people, we have to claim our lawful rights as the dominant race on this planet.
For sure, for sure.
And we need young black men. We need our young black men to stop hating, stop snaking, stop backdooring each other, and start protecting each other. Because that's the first thing that's going to get their attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold. You know, that's why I respect gangs. Because gangs build loyalty. Gangs build family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even though that they fucking up the community. Excuse my language.
No, you good. You totally good. Please don't apologize at all for that. No, you good. Because, I mean, the original gangs had a code of ethics, and their job was to protect the community.
Yeah, they wrote books. They wrote yeah. law that you had to live by if you was a part of that gang.
Oh, and listen, I have a question from a Instagram listener. They wanted to know, what kind of tips do you have for networking in the industry?
You just got to be solid. You got to have your money right. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You got to have, you know, you just got to be comfortable. You got to let a person know that you cool to network. You know, that you here for business. You know, that you're not here to try to take from them or do something. That's why I say you have your money right. Your money talk for you in the industry networking when it comes to this right here. Your money talk for you. As long as your money right, you gonna network all day.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you come get, even if you buy Ace, You feel me? You come by 4/8, my fellow gonna be like, yeah, you a client. They gonna want to get to know you when you come through. You gonna start getting fives. You gonna start getting deals. That's networking.
Got
That's
you.
Your networking right there. Got That's your you. Money talk for you in the game.
Got you. Okay. Bet. Let's see what else. We also had another question. Someone wanted to know, on average, how many trends, on average, how, oh, my bad, I'm reading wrong. How do you judge your success in the business?
Well, I really don't judge nothing, so, because right now, my success, everything is in building a brand right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm making money. I make good money. You feel me? I do what I do. But, you know, I really don't have the success that I'm really working for right now. So, you know, I just remain humble and, you know, don't be like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, flashing this. Nah, if you see me, you'll never think that, you know, you can get some good pressure from me. And then you be like, man, hold up. You know, cause I ain't getting no haircut, so you know I'm just rocking my natural right now.
Okay.
I enjoy looking like, you know, looking like, well, some people, my aunts would say I look like a wild man.
No, but I feel like that's how, you know, a masculine person should look. You know what I'm saying? Like, look a little unkempt sometime, you know.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, you know, I like, some people like. Well, let me rephrase, not some people. Some women like the look, for real, because I catch them looking at me like, hold up, he's all right, though. But, you know, right now, I'm really not into relationships, and I can honestly say that I feel like I went celibate before. So, you know, like, I think I'm just going to go celibate for a while, not deal with no relationships or something like that, and, you know, just focus on building my business until I see my success in front of my eyes, you know what I'm saying? Until I got me a big house, nice car, my son in school, in college, taken care of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I 100% understand, 100%.
My little family, my other little baby family members, making sure that they good. That's my whole thing, you feel me? Like, that's really my outcome. And I'm building it so they can have something that their kids can have, as long as they run it right, don't run it in the ground.
No, that's real. Ari Lennox said, don't date these niggas till you're 43. And I understand her, and I feel her, and I'm seriously considering following that advice.
What'd she say?
She said, don't date these niggas till you're 43.
I don't do niggas, I do women, you know.
No, that's so real. That's so real. Oh, I did have one other Instagram question. They wanted to know, how do you know who to trust in the business?
Man, I can't, I don't know what to say about that, because sometimes I don't trust nobody.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't trust you. I deal with you. You know, like, how I trust you is, you know, like, I gotta spend time with you. You don't just get my trust off the break. You get my respect off the break until you lose it, but you don't get my trust off the break. My trust is more fragile than my respect.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that. I always feel like I trust you to be yourself.
the only thing why I'm like that is because I've been betrayed before.
Right.
You know, and I know how it made me feel that time, you know, so I don't want to be feeling like that no more, because that would create a situation that, you know, I'm jeopardizing everything that I'm trying to do.
That's right.
Yeah, so I just stay humble, you know, in my role, and walk by faith, not by sight. So
that's dope, for sure.
I don't trust nobody.
Well, look, Bikomi, I really, really, really appreciate your time and your wanting to be a part of this episode. I'm really hyped. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, yo, I got a dope interview coming up. What'd you say?
I say, anybody, you know, anytime you want me to come back, you know, in a situation that, you know, that pertain to the industry, or you know, you just need some knowledge drop, just let me know.
For sure. I mean, like, I would love to have even, I mean, like, I can even see us doing like a segment, like a cannabis 101 segment every couple of weeks. Like, let's talk about the components of the plant. Let's talk about the differences in the strands. You know, it's so much that we could talk about. And just because cannabis has such a big part of the podcast and a big part of my life, I want to make sure that not only are we talking about, okay, yeah, this is what I'm smoking and this is what it's about, but also actually educating people on the process of growing it, the process of turning it into a business, how it can support your life in different ways and support your personal growth in different ways. So it's so much to talk about. And I would love to have you to continue to be a part of the conversation.
Definitely come back for you. You know, you good peoples to meet. You know what I'm saying?
I fuck with it. Thanks so much, Bougie.
No problem. I got that pink slurpee. That shit some pressure. I got some Venom OG too. So, you know, if you need some, hit me up. I'll be back in the city. I'll be back in the city probably next week, Monday.
Okay, bet. I need to come holler at you. And then the next time, we're going to be face-to-face, so we're going to be rotating that L anyway.
Exactly. We'll be able to, you know, really get something together, you know?
Yeah, that's really dope. That's actually, it would be really dope to do, like, a live episode and have, like, maybe a few people to be able to ask their questions in person and just have, like, a session. That would be really fire.
Yeah. Can I come to your office or, you know, like...
Hell yeah. For sure.
I come down there, set it up just, and let me know when I come down.
For sure. Like, you always welcome anytime. This one thing I really admire about you is that, like, from afar, like, I haven't known you that long, but, like, I've seen you, have a couple struggles this summer, but you still here, you still focused. Like, I have so much respect for that. So I wish you the best, and you know, I hope that you felt like my support, you know what I'm saying, over the summer.
Yeah, definitely. That's why, like, you don't even know you earned my loyalty, you know what I'm saying? You earned my trust, my respect, and my loyalty. So that's, you know, that put you right. That put you in high honors with me.
So, oh, that's, you know, what's up. Thank you.
You know, I'm a new breed. So, you know, I always been a new breed. You know, like, I consider myself an apex predator because I use my brain. And I probably use more percentage of my brain than an average person.
I believe that. That's dope.
Yeah, you know, it's my chakra that I opened up by meditating. That's what I meditate for, wisdom. I don't meditate for, you know, to relax or to figure things out. No, I meditate for wisdom.
Yeah, we definitely got to have a meditation episode because I meditate on a regular basis also. One of my reasons was because every time I would read an interview from a successful person, they always talked about them meditating. It didn't matter what they were successful in. That was like the common theme that meditation was a part of their ritual, you know? So I started incorporating it and, you know, just different things that might happen. I might, you know, tell the universe, put a request out to the universe and then like kind of look up and realize, damn, like that really came to fruition. Like that really happened. And it's because of me learning how to tune in and really understanding my place in the universe and how I create my reality. And I really credit meditation to that.
Yeah. And you know what else I credit to my life?
What's that?
The laws of attraction.
Yeah, we definitely got to have a deeper conversation on this, for sure.
I'm trying to tell you. But everything, when I read that book, I read the book. A girl had told me about it. My ex-girlfriend had told me about it before I did my little business, my little bid in the feds.
Okay.
So, you know, like, and when I got to the feds and it, I came across it. I read this book like 4 times.
Okay, okay.
Just the down pack of what they telling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I apply to my life every day now because it has proven that it worked and it's working right now. You know, at this very moment, it's working.
No, that's real.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it proves to me, no doubt, that I've mastered that. You know, like, well, not mastered, because I can always learn more. But, you know, like, I just thank the laws of attraction, too, because, you know, along with my spirit. And, you know, that good vibration that I feel coming deep from deep inside. I got to let y'all. So, you know.
That's real.
I plan to do more than just be, you know, a cannabis, you know, entrepreneur. You know, like, shit, I'm gonna run for politics.
That would be so. That would be so dope. Like, I would love to support you in that. That would be so amazing.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the plan, because you know, we don't need like what America needs. It needs somebody that's more humble, more peaceful. You feel me? More willing to do this, but making sure that they do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's for the advancement of the human race. Period.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Everybody, they just out for themselves. That's why I say the devil physically walks this earth and poisons this world. That's where he fell. You know, like, I believe in that. I believe in, because I believe in spirits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel spirits, I see spirits. You know, like, I get hit by spirits, get poked by spirits, get touched by spirits. Sorry, this was some good sativa, you know that.
No, man, I'm fucking with you. Like, because you basically talking about the same things I talk about. This is this is what I mean when I say that I'm sure that a lot of people that are not on the wave that I'm on, they probably look at me and they probably see like a full alien, because these are the things that I talk about on a regular basis. And it might not make all the way sense to certain people, but if you are able to think about things, and if you are able to think about things outside of the dimension that you're physically in, it would make perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all when you start to understand, like, the law of attraction and the power of now and the four agreements, and you know what I'm saying, like your pineal glands, like you start to understand all of this shit is really helping you understand that, just like you said, you attract your life, you create your life. You, this shit really is a matrix. Like, we really are creating these experiences. We really are creating our families and building our realities.
If you wake up in the morning, you hit your, like it said, you wake up in the morning, you hit your toe, and you get angry, you're gonna be angry all day. Everything, everybody, what I keep telling people, listen, you can't, like I told Yabba the other day, she was arguing about, because she's moving, you know what I'm saying? And she, like, she got help, and we getting everything done, but my leg messed up, so, you know, I can't really, you know, like, move and pick these boxes up and put them downstairs like I want to, you know, like, because I'm a workhorse. I'm a real live workhorse. But, you know, like my leg fucked up, so I can't workhorse like I want to. But I've been helping her because I promised her, you know, like, I keep my promises. So, you know, like, sometimes it may get pushed back, but when I come to you, I'm gonna be like, yo, you still want, you know, you know, like, I'm still with it. I just had some problems, you know what I'm saying?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's life. But one thing that I can say, and this advice to you too, don't never let another person get you out your positivity.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that, for sure.
Yeah. You know what I tell a motherfucker who want to argue with me? Man, I love you. Man, I'm sorry you had a fucked up day.
No, that's so real.
Yeah, that's what I tell. I don't even get into arguments. I tell them, man, I love you, man.
Yeah,
you feel, look at them no type of way, man, I love you, man. I'm sorry you had a fucked up day. And that fucked their head up. Like, damn.
Because you understand, like, That what's dope about what you just said and how it resonates to me is kind of like what I tell people. Like, I really try my best not to take shit personal. Like, if somebody is arguing and yelling or whatever, like, that really probably don't have nothing to do with me. Like, it probably have everything to do with whatever anger they dealing with.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I just so happen to be in the vicinity of where it's coming out at.
Yeah. And by doing that, by telling them that, you know what you telling them?
What's that?
What you eat don't make me shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to feed into this. I've decided that today is going to be good, so.
Yeah.
No, that's super real.
When I show up on the block, they know what I'm there for. I'm here to get some money.
You know?
No, yeah.
And I'm trying to get home at the end of the night. You know, like.
I ain't here to hurt nobody. I'm trying to get some money.
You know? That's real.
What's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius sun, and I'm a Gemini moon.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Pisces, so what would that make me and what the other terms you said?
So, you're a Pisces. That means you're a water element, but I don't know what your moon sign is. You would have to get, like, your natal chart done or whatever to know what your moon is. So, like, you have your sun sign, which is kind of like your basis and your personality, and then your moon sign is who you are intimately, like who you are when nobody is around, or how the people that are very closely associated to you, how they kind of know you to be. And then you have your rising, and that's kind of like your mask, like how people see you when they first get to know you.
Oh, like this is a wild nigga.
Right.
Damn, cool as shit. Man, I don't thought this dude was a wild nigga.
That's exactly right. It's kind of like, I kind of like the analogy of, you know how when people say when you first starting to date somebody and at first you kind of meeting your representative, like you sending your best personality? That's kind of like your rising, like your best personality, you know.
No, I got people that will vouch for you. I never change.
That's what's up.
Vouch for me.
That's
for real, like people like man, that nigga been the same way ever since. Like people respect me because, like, the people that came up with me, but didn't come up with me, but they know me.
Mm-hmm.
Like they respect me. Like, that nigga been solid since day one, since the day I met him.
That's what's up.
Well, like I got people that like my man Gotti. You feel me? Sky That High Company on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he, you know, like, man, we've been hanging together since junior high. We fell out of touch, but when we get back in touch, like, we in touch forever now. Okay. That's my man. We in the same business.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? We in the same business. That's my man, 100 grand. Never had a problem with him. And he'd tell you, man, that nigga been the same way since I met him.
That's what's up. That's what's up. You need those, like, grounding relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope. Well,
Go ahead. No, I was about to say the only time that I get bent out of shape is when you try to play me for a fool.
No, that's some, like, I hate when people make assumptions about my intelligence. But again, that tends to be their problem and not mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not messing with my family, if it's not messing with my finances, then I probably don't need to get too turned up over it. But those two things, Might have to turn the dial up.
but I know you probably ready to get off the phone.
I definitely want to schedule time to set up another interview to talk about meditation and the different things that you're reading, because I just feel like melanated people around the world need to be meditating. So, I don't know. I have very specific views. I feel like melanated people don't need to be eating meat. I feel like we need to be meditating. And I feel like we need to be finding solutions for spiritual and physical worship. Those are my personal beliefs. They don't always line up with everybody else's, but I would love to have a...
So you're not religious, you're spiritual though, right?
Very much so.
That's exactly how I am. I'm not religious.
Yeah.
I don't have I can really go be a religious speaker, because I've done it. Like, I used, when I was homeless.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Man, I used to.
Lovers, thank you so much for joining me. I had so much fun recording this episode. I can't wait to record more with Bougie. I can't wait to hear your feedback. So let me know what you think about the episode. Let me know if you'd like to be a part of the show in any way. Your support is really appreciated. So thanks again for being a part of the Somewhere family. Until next time, peace.